Service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Follow the 25th Infantry Regiment Bicycle Corps' Buffalo Soldiers on their 1,900-mile ride in 1897 on Sheridan Community Land Trust's Iron Riders Trail driving and cycling tour. Enjoy this tour on the ground and virtually with the Travel Stories GPS app. Find this and all of SCLT's driving and walking tours under the History tab at SheridanCLT.org.
Hi, this is Brad at Primate Motors, and let me tell you, partnering with Sheridan Media and the Country Bounty has delivered proven results time and time again. Our Sheridan Media guy keeps our message fresh, and his reliable customer service means we're never left hanging. If you're looking to move inventory or grow your brand, I say saddle up with the best, Sheridan Media Radio and the Country Bounty. The proof's in the pavement, and that's the results you can haul to the bank.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, October 22nd. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse. Joining us this morning is University of Wyoming Director of Internal Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. Nice to talk to you this morning.
How's the semester going down there?
It's great. It's been wonderful. Good numbers, lots of activities. Weather's been nice. It's been a great time.
You got snow on those caps yet?
A little bit up high, but that's to be expected. I would say we really haven't had a hard freeze yet here in town, which is a little bit unusual. But we've had some moisture, which is very welcomed, of course. But beautiful week this week.
Now, continuing research, actually the continuing increases in Wyoming resident and online students, along with the student retention rate, have delivered an increase in year-over-year enrollment at the University of Wyoming for the second straight semester. We talked about this a little bit before, but we were going into what factors you believe are actually driving this continued increase in UW enrollment this fall. What do you think those are?
Yeah. Well, it's several things. Floyd, you mentioned one, which is we are retaining our students at a higher percentage, which is really important. So we're just barely now under 80% of our students from last fall returned for this fall, who had been here as freshmen, that freshman retention, freshman to sophomore, I guess you would call it. So that gets us up there. If we can get above 80%, then we're feeling pretty good about things. And so that makes a big difference. The other one is the number of Wyoming residents is up. So the people we get from Wyoming, we're up there 1.5% from last year. And when it comes to the first-time student class, we're up 2.3% of Wyoming residents. We have nearly 1,000 Wyoming residents in our freshman class this year who came in this fall. And so that's important. Another factor is that we're up in Colorado for the first time in the several years, which is Colorado historically has given us about 25% of our students. And then the other one you also mentioned was that our online student numbers are up. Actually, people pursuing degrees online this fall is up 8.5% over last year.
You know,
those are the main things.
I would be curious to see how many of those Colorado students come out of Weld County.
It's a good number. We can. I don't have it at the top of my tongue here, but it's Northern Colorado primarily. Yes,
yeah.
Weld County's, I think, probably the biggest one for sure.
I got family in Weld County. It's very Wyoming-ish part of Colorado.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that we have a lot of our Colorado students are from more rural communities, and that's not a surprise. I mean, it feels like Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. A lot of agriculture out there, Now, when we sit down and have these discussions, either at the beginning of the year, maybe you guys do them quarterly, one thing that I've always kind of been curious about is how does a university or a college balance those online courses, the online options, with in-person classes? I mean, is there a balance that you guys like to try and make? Or is it just, you know what, we're going to throw it the wide net out there and see what we can get?
So, Floyd, there are a couple of things to think about there. One is many of our online students are place-bound, which means they're not here in Laramie. Their jobs or family situations are keeping them from coming to Laramie, and so they're pursuing their degrees online. And that's a big piece of it. We do, however, also have students who are here who quite a few of our students who live in Laramie do take online classes as well. Sometimes that's for convenience, sometimes that's for schedule, but we do try to have to strike the right balance. And I think I believe we're in the mode of about 70% of our classes are offered in person, 30% online. That might be off a little bit, but it's we need to be able to offer a mixture of things to be able to serve the needs of our diverse student population.
And I think everybody can pretty much assume that these online options are only going to increase as the years go on. Would you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the market is headed, where it's headed, Floyd. Although I will say this, I mean, while we do intend to try to meet that market demand, the in-person student experience is not going to go away. And, you know, we made a huge investment in our new residence halls, for example. And so there are still plenty of students who are out there looking for a full-on in-person college student experience as well. And we want to meet that need as well.
And, you know, I think there's just nothing that really compares to it. You know, going to a university, living there on campus, at least for the first 2, maybe even 3 years, it offers a view into a different world. It's really a very unique experience. And I think as many people as can should take advantage of that. When we talk about retention, and we see that these numbers, I mean, although small, they are in the positive. They're in the green. What are the conversations that are being had? Because I know that the University of Wyoming had a huge recruitment push, a huge retention push. Are these numbers enough for some of the official leadership up there? Are they looking at that saying, hey, other universities are in the red, I'm just happy we're up here?
I think you can't help but look around and see that you want to be in the we're up rather than the down situation. The fact is, honestly, Floyd, as I look around the region, just about everybody's pretty flat. Nobody's growing dramatically. For example, just to the east of us in Nebraska, the University of Nebraska is down 0.2% overall in their headcount this fall. They've been flat for several years to declining. I mean, there are numerous other schools we're all kind of in the same boat. Mm-hmm. So we're all really scrambling to essentially, Floyd, try to the size of the pie isn't growing. So we're each trying to get the bigger piece. And so there's a real strong competition going on. But, you know, while you're looking at doing things like marketing and recruitment, you also have to focus on, as you mentioned, this idea. We get the best enrollment increases are probably going to come by just keeping the students who already came here.
Yeah.
And so there's been a lot of focus put on that. We have some great programs here, Cowboy Coaches, we call it, a peer mentorship that's happening on a big scale that's never happened at this level before. Making a difference. We have that Saddle Up program, which is the orientation program for freshmen and transfers before the start of the school year. We have data that show that that's really paying off on retention. So all of these things are happening. It's something we have to address on all fronts.
And, you know, having that amount of students down there, you will, of course, end up losing some. Life gets in the way for a few performance gets in the way of others, it's got to be a challenge. And so having these student counselors and these student mentors there on the spot, you are seeing a positive impact with that, though, you said.
Yes, we sure are. Yeah, the needle is moving, Floyd, on the retention side for sure. And, you know, on the marketing side as well. I mean, we did make an increased commitment to do more marketing the past couple of years, and our application numbers actually are up 10% over those 2 years. And we haven't necessarily, we've gotten sort of in the funnel, as they call it, and we haven't moved them necessarily all the way through, but that's a piece of it as well.
You know, I'm curious as to, at the end of this year, if we could possibly get those numbers, the increases in certifications over degrees. I'm wondering if a lot of individuals out there are saying, you know what, I'd rather go to like a trade type of profession as opposed to a degree required profession. I felt like there was a big trend there for a long time. And I know you guys offer various certifications and welding schools and a bunch of different stuff down there. I'm just curious as to see if that number is growing or balancing out with the more degree centralized programs.
So the trend nationally, Floyd, certainly is more toward the trades and certificates. You see our community colleges kind of taking advantage of that in Wyoming, and like the private institution here in Laramie, WyoTech is seeing some pretty significant growth. We don't do the trades per se here at UW, but we do offer some certificates, and those are growing in some areas, and say in the energy fields, in ag, and some other areas where you can get a certificate. But I don't think you're going to see UW move into becoming a trade school. Now, that there is one area where we have made a real focus because the state needs it, and that is in training career and technical education teachers. Our College of Education has really been focused on that, and that's like getting people who have worked in a certain trade to come here to UW, get their teaching credentials, and then go back into the public schools or go into the public schools and then teach a class in shop or auto body work or welding or whatever it may be. And so that's kind of been our main contribution to the need for more skilled trades workers in Wyoming, is to train the teachers of those people.
That's fascinating. And a lot of what University of Wyoming does is very much based on Wyoming economy, Wyoming workforce, and issues like that, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the best examples probably are energy and tourism, and agriculture. You know, in tourism, we have a new tourism and hospitality outdoor recreation degree and certificates you can get. We've done a whole bunch of different things in energy, and we have our new ranch management and agricultural leadership program, which is specific to training people to manage and carry on our great ranching heritage in Wyoming. So those are some specific examples of how we've created some new things to address those specific needs.
And, you know, I think it took so long to try and get to that, the outdoor recreation degree. It kind of surprises me just because, you know, we live in a fantastic state for that industry. And I'm not faulting UW on that at all. I think it's fascinating that you guys have decided, you know what, this should be a profession, because it already is. So we should start really educating people on how to do this even better. And I think that's great. I'm going to switch gears on you. Wyoming's going to debut new black and white coal-inspired uniforms on October 25th. And this is when they're going to host Colorado State in what will be the final meeting between the two border war rivals as members of the Mountain West Conference. Chad, how is this the final meeting of the border war? The border war's not going away, is it?
No, it's just the final. The Colorado State, you might know, is leaving the Mountain West Conference after this year. So we're going to continue to play them. It'll still be a rivalry, but it won't be a conference rivalry from here on. And so you know, we've had their number the last five of the last seven years. We've beaten them, but they've decided they want to go somewhere else, and so we kind of want to send them off with a whipping here. And I don't want to provide any bulletin board material for the team. I don't want to have my coaches get mad. But yeah, we're looking forward to this Saturday. The Border War game is always a great one. And now with this, the all-black uniforms is going to be really cool. And it's a tribute to our coal mining industry, which is so important to our state. And it's a collaboration with the Wyoming Mining Association. We're going to have some coal miners running out on the field with the team. And it's a tribute game to this key industry in our state.
That's pretty amazing. Now, are these going to be our uniforms for the rest of the year, from here on out? How's this going to work?
No, it's just a one-time deal, Floyd. And,
gotcha.
And you know, there's, as you look around the country, maybe the University of Oregon's the best example. They're changing up their uniforms every week. We're not doing that. We're still brown and gold. But for this one game, this is what we're going to do.
And I think that's absolutely amazing. You know, those uniforms are going to be cherished, I think, by every player. And for any individual who's wanting to get their hands on one, they're going to be quite valuable. Are these going to be available on the commercial side at all? Any kind of coal industry-inspired merch that might be out there?
Yep, check out the University of Wyoming store. So you can go online to do it. There's some merchandise you can get, absolutely.
Oh, really? That's fantastic. I like to hear that.
Yep.
That way people can really wear that and during the game. And show their support for the industry and our Cowboys. On that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our University of Wyoming right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
At Shipton's Big R, we have a fall savings event going on right now. Our 16-page flyer is loaded with specials and great deals in your mailbox, available at our stores and on our website, shiptonsbigr.com. This includes a super great deal on Wrangler retro jeans. Purchase one pair at regular price, receive a second pair at half off. Or you can say, buy one, get one, 50% off. Wrangler retro jeans live and breathe in a class of their own. Unique styling and fit, premium denim, and undeniable comfort. Designed for the modern cowgirl and cowboy with attention to detail, Shipton's Big R offers you the largest and most complete selection of Wrangler Western apparel. Over 100 sizes of Wrangler jeans in stock. This Wrangler retro jeans offer, buy one, get one, 50% off, is good through October 28th. At Shipton's Big R. Shipton's Big R. On Sugarland Drive in Sheridan.
Hi, this is Kayla Carr with Sheridan Honda. Life moves fast, so should your auto service. No long waits, no runaround, just fast, friendly service done right the first time. Don't take our word for it, our customers say it best.
I am always treated to friendly, fast service. Wouldn't go anywhere else.
I was kept updated and had my vehicle back before the promised time.
Exceptional customer service. All makes and models, same day appointments. It's not just a dealership. It's Sheridan Honda.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Behind closed doors, many in our community are living in silence, fear, and pain. Domestic violence doesn't always leave visible scars, but it always leaves a mark. This Domestic Violence Awareness Month, remember, survivors deserve to be heard, believed, and supported. The Advocacy and Resource Center is here day and night. Call our 24/7 crisis line at 307-672-3222. Hope and help are just a phone call away.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're talking with University of Wyoming Director of Internal Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Now, when we were just talking about the upcoming game with Colorado, Our Cowboys are going to debut new black and white Cole-inspired uniforms on October 25th. Chad, speaking of this upcoming game, how does a $206 million annual impact from athletics shape UW's role right here in the Cowboy economy?
Boy, athletics is, in many respects, the front door to the university. It's a huge source of pride for the people of Wyoming, for the Cowboys and Cowgirls, to be competing at the highest level across the country. But there is this, as you mentioned, this key economic component to it as well. As you look around at our neighboring states, there are at least a couple that they don't have a Division I FBS football program, for example. We do, and we're the least populated state in the nation. It's a huge source of pride, and it's a big part of our brand. That bucking horse and rider on those football helmets, people see it in national TV games. It's part of who we are, a big part of who we are, and it brings benefits, both tangible, maybe and intangible, to the state. And the tangible stuff, we had this new report you talked about, which is that we looked at what kind of an impact does it have on our economy, and it's very substantial. Now, you can argue most of that's probably centered here in Laramie, but it goes beyond as well. I'll note that, for example, our men's basketball team just played to a full house at the Pronghorn Center in Gillette on Saturday in an exhibition game. Our wrestling team is starting its season off in Rock Springs here in a week or so. In an exhibition there at Western Community College, and so, one of the taglines used by athletics is one Wyoming, one university, we represent our entire state, and there's no other schools really in the country that can say that.
Absolutely, and you know, I got to thinking about I was looking at this story, reporting on this. Large amount of money brought in by sports. And I remembered attending a game, and this was, I don't even want to share how many years ago this was, Chad, but I attended a game, and I believe it was Ole Miss, who was in from out of town. And those individuals, I'm here to tell you, tailgate on a whole new level. That parking lot was full of, they brought stages where they put the big screen TVs and barbecuers and all kinds of stuff on. I remember sitting there thinking, you know, these people drove clear across the country, halfway across the country, to basically watch a football game together. And I wondered, how much money are they bringing in? They're paying for fuel, they're buying food, they're buying rooms. I mean, it was kind of amazing to sit there and just see that amount of people who didn't even go into the stadium. They were just out there in the parking lot having a fantastic time.
Yeah, I remember that game well. Those Ole Miss fans, I think there were about 5,000 of them.
My goodness.
And they really enjoyed their trip to Laramie. They had a great time, and that interaction was really positive. And, you know, the fact is, Floyd, that, we talk a lot about it. We're certainly an academic institution. That's never going to change. But schools like those in this, like, say, Ole Miss is an example, they're doing really well this season, there's no worry about how maybe athletics versus academics. Those things support each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the schools and there's some schools in the South that are actually, during this difficult time with enrollment challenges across the country, they're actually growing. And one of the reasons is they have really vibrant, successful athletics programs, and so that's where we, in some respects, aspire to be, and in some respects are. I mean, our tailgate scene on Saturdays is awesome. Well, I think there's been people say it's the best in the whole Mountain West Conference. People from around the state, they bring their RVs down, they stay overnight, they set up, it's game day in Laramie is a big thing.
Oh, and absolutely is.
And for people concerned about, well, maybe that's taken away from academics, absolutely not. It benefits academics. It's a successful university. This day and age includes great athletics programs.
You know, game day when we were living there was a family event. You take the kids, you head down to the University of Wyoming, you watch the game, you meet up with all your other friends and their families. It basically was like the culmination, but also the start of the entire day. Because after the game, you usually ended up over at somebody's house, talking about the game, hanging out with each other, kids growing up together. I mean, it's really a community event. And if you haven't gotten a chance to experience this, folks, I would recommend that you do. It's something on a whole new level. And if you get a chance to properly tailgate, that's another fantastic experience. Chad, I'm running out of time with you, but there is one thing I really did want to touch on this morning, and that is UW ensuring that the Cheyenne residency is teaching a Wild West emergency and rodeo medicine skill. Could you explain this?
Might be unique in the whole country, Floyd. Yes, we have our residency center program in Cheyenne. There's one in Casper as well, where, you know, doctors in training come and have experiences. And our program has a rodeo medicine skills program. And it really came, I mean, it really, the light was shown on it this past summer, Floyd, during Cheyenne Frontier Days, when there was a professional cowboy who was helping with the shoots, got knocked right in the chest, kind of like the Buffalo Bills player Damar Hamlin a few years ago, and was not breathing, heart wasn't working, and they were able to revive him and get into the hospital, and he's okay now. And is thanking, you know, kind of made his story a little bit public. But, you know, the skilled professionals we have, and Frontier Days does a great job of having all the medical people there, but the training in rodeo medicine is through the University of Wyoming program.
That's incredible. How unique is that? I mean, is there anywhere else, even down in Texas, that are doing anything like this?
You know, we haven't done an exhaustive look at it, Floyd, but I haven't heard of one. And, you know, I mean, and what's more Wyoming than this, right?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah.
I think it's absolutely fascinating that somebody who's, you know, pursuing a medical career, maybe wanting to be an EMT or a first responder, could go in and get rodeo medicine training and then really just get involved in the rodeos around the state and around the country. I think that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's a really cool story. You betcha.
All right. Well, Chad, I've run out of time with you, my friend. We had a lot to talk about, but that's okay. We could save it for next time. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, my friend.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for the time, Floyd. Great to talk to you as well.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the Sheridan County Library System. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Every dent's a villain, but Sheridan's got a hero. Vulcan Collision Center. From bent frames to scratched paint, they'll bring your car back to life. Vulcan is Sheridan's own hero of the road. The vents are parking lot dings, deer on the highway, hailstorms. Our hero, ta-da! Vulcan Collision Center. Taking down dents one battle at a time. In Sheridan, you'll find them in the Holly Seed building under that huge chimney.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine Training. Part of your job is to bridge the communication gap between humans and dogs.
I have this like obsession with trying to interpret why a dog's doing what it's doing. Even though they do possess so many similar emotions that we do, they also have them for different reasons. Some of the behaviors that dogs exhibit may look like they're doing something based on what we would do, but it's the opposite. Sometimes you just say, here, look what just happened right there. That's why she's doing this. And the owner will go, that is crazy. Yeah. I wondered why she did that. They look at me like I'm magic. It's not me. It's the dog.
Require somebody who has that knowledge though, to kind of like turn that light on.
Yeah, I consider myself the liaison between a dog and human.
Well, and it's one of those vital things where, you know, without that, they'd never get there.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, you're right. All I'm trying to do is enhance the relationship.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool job to have.
Learn more at countrypetinn.com.
Doug, is your service shop haunted?
Nope. That's just the sound of folks screaming with joy over our tire sale.
Oh, yeah. Buy three tires, get the fourth for a dollar.
A single dollar. That's scarier than my mother-in-law's meatloaf.
And a lot safer.
Don't get caught driving on bald tires this Halloween. Swing into Wearing Chevrolet.
Buy three, get one for a buck. No tricks, just treats. Wearing Chevrolet online at WearingSheridan.com.
Help celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States by designing a flag for your Sheridan County community. Sage Community Arts invites designs from each of the 14 cities and towns in the county. One design will be chosen from each to begin flying the first week of January. To enter, scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for a link with format information and to submit your design. This contest sponsored in part by Sage Community Arts and Sheridan Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. Our guests for the second part this morning are Sheridan County Library System Director Amy Long, Youth Services Manager Zola Shockley, and Emily Bensler from Bon Beautifully. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to be here. All in unison. 1, 2, 3. So, have things been down at the library, Amy? Everything going well?
Yeah, it's been great. We're all decked out for the season. Fall is falling all around us.
And yeah, I was going to say, that beautiful yard of yours, is it getting covered with leaves right now?
Absolutely. Beautiful inside and out. We've got the quilt show happening. So, haven't stopped by and seen the quilts, they are gorgeous. And then juxtaposed with the quilts is a very spooky holiday happening in the first floor. So
the quilt show, how long is that going to be up, Amy?
Usually it's up all of October, right?
It's up till the end of the month.
Yeah.
Till the end of the month.
Yep.
All right. A little thing about me that some people know, I really like quilts.
Oh, you should stop by. There is a chicken you have to see, a very impressive wolf. And I particularly like the mountain scene and the butterflies. So you definitely have to come by and find your favorite.
Fantastic. Quilts are the art of the Old West that women really had all the control over. You know, and there's family history there.
Yeah.
They're family heirlooms passed down for generations. I mean, there's so much to quilts. And in my opinion, how American West
Absolutely.
Is a quilt? You know, I mean, it's a cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
How are preparations for the Fall Fest going?
They're going very well. We're super excited. We're ready to go. We are having pumpkin decorating at the library all week from 3 to 5.
And really? Every day?
Yeah. And we've been through Monday and Tuesday, and we have, I believe, 42 pumpkins decorated already. I initially went out and bought 30 pumpkins, and that was very foolish of me.
Plan for success. That's
so,
what I was saying.
If you see me at Walmart with a cart full of pumpkins, don't judge.
You know where they're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got 42 pumpkins. Are people taking them home? Or
no,
got them all?
We're putting them on display in the library.
Oh,
and
my
then
goodness.
At Fall Fest, we are voting on your favorite pumpkin, and we'll have some prizes for that.
Oh,
so,
that's fantastic.
So they'll all be on display during Fall Fest. We'll give you tickets, and you can drop your ticket in your favorite pumpkin.
Just so folks know, they want to carve a pumpkin at the library.
What paint, time a
paint a pumpkin.
We're not giving names.
No. We learned our lesson.
Wise choice.
But we will have the pumpkins, the paints, all of the supplies that you need. 3 to 5 every day.
3 to 5 every day. Just
leading
grab the
up to Fall Fest.
Head on down there. What a fantastic time.
And then
time.
You can pick up your pumpkin at Fall Fest and take it home with you. So you still have a whole week to display it in your home.
All ages, right?
All ages, mm-hmm. Yes. We have some delightful pumpkins that adults have painted with their children. So.
Are you going to have age brackets for
yes.
the voting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Teens
we're not,
too.
Yeah, I think that... That would be pretty harmful if we're having, the 50-year-old versus the 2-year-old. So.
We got some pretty world-renowned artists around here, and I think that's kind of an unfair competition for poor Joey from kindergarten.
Yeah.
But I really like that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we did it last year for the first time, and I think we had 17 pumpkins in total.
Really? So you've already beat that record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hence why I thought 30 pumpkins might be an appropriate amount.
Yeah. you're going to have to go get some more.
Yeah. I have now purchased 80 pumpkins.
Oh, so. There we go. All right. So plenty of pumpkins down there. What can families experience during this year's Day of the Dead celebration? This is something that I wanted to talk with you about the last time you guys were on the show, but I don't think we got around to it, so I want to make sure that we hit it today.
We always yap too hard.
That's okay. I like yap.
So, it will be at the YO Theater on Saturday, November 1st. So at 2 o'clock, there will be a free showing of the movie Book of Life, which is about Day of the Dead. Last year, we showed Coco, so this year we're mixing it up a little bit. And then immediately after the movie at 3:30, we are going to have kids activities. So we'll have some crafts. We had cookie painting last year, which was extremely successful. And those cookies are so beautiful. I didn't know that it was a possibility. And now I'm like, yeah. So we'll have cookie painting. We'll have dancing with Little Goose Enrichment. And we are putting together some informational stuff about Day of the Library. We'll be putting together informational stuff about Day of the Dead so kids can interact with our displays and learn more about this cultural event. And so that's from 3:30 to 4:30. And then at 4:30, things are going to kick off for the whole family. So that's when we'll have face painting. We're going to have dancing for adults. We'll have a DJ. We'll have a taco truck. We'll have margaritas for the adults.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So it's just a really joyful event. We had so much fun last year. We had way more people than we thought we were going to have. And it's really great just having the partnership between all of these places with the YO and the Downtown Association and Little Goose Enrichment and the library. We're really blessed to have that in
That's
this
fantastic.
Community.
And then, I almost forgot.
And then at 7 o'clock, that will be the performance by the Villalobos brothers. And that you can buy tickets for online or you can get them at the box office when you're there.
These are amazing. You know, every time I've talked with you about these events that are coming up, the summer reading program, the Fall Fest, Day of the Dead, the conclusion to the summer reading program, which we didn't even talk about this year, but I imagine it was huge.
Yeah.
But you guys are getting a lot of attendance. You guys are getting a lot of community members down there. Amy, how do these events really connect the library to the wider community of Sheridan County?
Well, I think the biggest way is through connection. Like you said, it's partnerships. It's reaching out into the community and seeing how we can work together. It's seeking people who are aligned with what we're doing and similarly seeking ways to reach out and do things that really help the community celebrate families, celebrate connection, celebrate curiosity, celebrate these different events together, and just celebrate being part of this community, Sheridan, and what we mean to each other. And so I think when you look at how we come up with these events and partner together throughout the year, that's sort of what you see is all of us being together and celebrating each other and celebrating these kind of events throughout the year.
And it's absolutely amazing, the activities and the things that you guys come up with. Zola, what do the meetings look like? I mean, do you just jot down ideas all day long and then you go to the meetings and you're like, here we go. Let's just see which ones stick.
Yeah. It's amazing being in a room with so many people who have so many great ideas, because that's, we all go in together and okay, let's do this, this,
and
this, this, this.
Feed off of each other, right?
And then, yeah, we have to get somebody in there to edit us a little bit.
Amy, are you the wrangler?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Cassie and I will go to Amy, and Amy has to be like, okay.
Everybody come.
I'm going to be the real adult in the room. Is this possible? Which it is really important to have that person, or else who knows what we'd be doing. But I think that you can see it in event attendance. You know, these are really well attended events. So, and sometimes we try something and it's not a well attended event. Right. So we move on and do something else. So really it is just community feedback that's leading everything. And a lot of our programs are based off of things that community members come and tell us that they're interested in seeing. So absolutely, that is really important. And I want to stress that to everybody in the community, even if you haven't been to the library in years, think of us as a resource for that. Come and chat with us and let us know what you're interested in seeing, because we now have this really great community coalition. So maybe if we can't do it, we can find somebody who can partner with us to make these things happen.
And these partnerships are so vital. And now, Emily, how did the partnership between Bought Beautifully and the Sheridan County Library begin?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a couple, as personally, I think me and all our staff, we love the library. We have our kids are older now, but certainly when they were younger, we were regular visitors there. So the library's always held a special place in all our hearts. And then professionally at Bought Beautifully, we're passionate about a lot of things, but specifically free public education. I think when we look at our partners around the globe and we see what they're willing to do to get their kids to school, the 3-hour walks they take, the long hours they're working, you know, we just love public education and access to education and these types of enriching programs. Like, we know how important that is.
Yeah.
So we just always want to be supporting and engaging. And so actually it just kind of came up that they are where one of our partners started making these phenomenal t-shirts that say readers are leaders, support your local library. And when we saw them, we were at one of our staff meetings and everyone was like, we should see if we could partner with the library and sell these. And then 10% of the sales from this new t-shirt line we're releasing is going to go to the library.
When are we going to see them?
Hopefully, you know, they've been ordered. I ordered them all last night. So within the next 10 to 12 days, by November, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amy, could you tell me a little bit about the library t-shirt fundraiser that is happening in November? Is it happening at the library or Bought Beautiful and the library?
We'll probably have some on display at the library, but it'll be at their store.
Okay.
But then it will benefit the library. That 10% will come to us, which will be great. We'll definitely put it to good use. Love the idea.
They'll be on display on me.
I know.
I've seen these. They're very, very cute shirts.
I would agree. I'm sure you won't be alone in that.
Now, Emily, you said readers are leaders.
Readers are leaders is one of them. Support your local library. And then I can't remember the exact phrasing of the second one, but it's of cute. You can pull it up. Cute phrases about books.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. My first radio show. I'm a little nervous.
You're doing great. As you could, you got a really good group to come in with.
Yes.
As Zola said, half the time we don't even touch on the stuff because we get to gab in a little bit. But I love to gab. How are the funds that are going to be raised through this t-shirt sale going to support the library's programs or services?
Well, generally, any funds that we get that come in, we'll put to helping to support collections or programs and events. And then we will utilize that to help purchase materials through, Overdrive, which is Libby, and or help us with program supplies. So, for example, pumpkins. If pumpkin purchasing time is over with, then possibly crafts that we will put out for winter and or things that we utilize for summer reading. So the donations that are made, for example, during our fund drive and or just any donations that come in through the year are utilized in many different ways in the library. There's always certain things that we need funding for. But a lot of times that is what it goes for, is just those supplies, those materials that we don't have enough in our budget to purchase for, like books and e-books and e-content, digital content, and just even DVDs and other content that you physically see in the library. So a lot of the things that you participate in the library have been funded or supplement supplemented by donations.
Yeah. And I mean, when it comes to your budget, it's got to be, I mean, what is the funding for U.S. libraries? Like less than 1%?
Well, I can't speak for all of U.S. libraries, but I will say our annual report, which should be coming out this week and is available on our website right now, talks a lot about our funding. And 90% of our funding is from taxes, but that 10% that comes in is actually very essential for things like programming supplies and supplementing our collections budget. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't really be able to do the things that people do or have the things that people want in the library. The 90% is essential. The tax funding is essential for the people, because without the people, you don't have the magic. But that 10% donation money in the form of trusts, gifts, grants, all of those things that are so essential really help us to make that visit to the library come alive with programs, with events, but also with just that friendly smile, that connection, and those comfortable and comforting visits that you have where you walk out of the library feeling more enriched than when you walked in.
In not just in knowledge mm-hmm. and education, but in spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, in a lot of different ways, mm-hmm. you know, our library is really our community center.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one thing I love talking to you ladies about, that kind of stuff, because I really watched this library system bud. You know, people who made those big impacts and made those big improvements, you know, when I first got here, now that's really paying off, you mm-hmm. know, and what a fantastic team
yeah.
we've got up there. Emily, what does something like this and supporting these types of programs really mean to you, Bob Beautifully, and your team to be able to see, hey, we're making a contribution, not just to the library, but the spirit of the library?
Absolutely. I mean, you sort of nailed it. I think for us, sometimes, you know, the focus of our work tends to be international, but we're able to do that because we live in such a beautiful community, like you said, such a supportive, wonderful community. And so we want to be a part of that, right? We want to be a part of what makes Sheridan great. And the library is one way, you know, that we can do that.
Now, Zola, I'm running out of time with you guys.
Yeah.
Tell me about the events that are coming up, where and when I've got to be there.
Okay, Fall Fest. Fall Fest is this Saturday at 11:30, right after the Monster Mash. So you can go trick-or-treating at all of our lovely businesses and then just head right to the library. Or, you know, maybe stop by the beautiful new park in Whitney first and then come to our program. So, and that's going to run until everybody has a meltdown and has to go.
I'm one of the first that ends up having to melt out.
Yeah. I do want to say that there will be some snacks there. We're looking at meats, cheeses, and veggies, so it's not all going to be candy.
No, there
so
you go.
There will be something a little bit more substantial for kids there, so hopefully that'll let us party a little bit longer. And then Day of the Dead is the next weekend, November 1st. Things kick off at 2 o'clock, so 2 o'clock movie. 3:30 kids activities, 4:30 all family activities, and then 7 o'clock is when we have the concert. So we hope to see you all there.
And if we want to grab up the family and go paint a pumpkin.
Yep, that is every day this week from 3 to 5.
Now, Emily, real quick, tell me where Bop Beautifully is and just exactly what the mission of the organization is.
Sure, absolutely. So we're actually we're a nonprofit and we are a boutique. And so we're located on 117 North Main, right next to Best Out West. And what we do, our mission is to create life-changing opportunities around the globe. So we partner with small producers, primarily in vulnerable and disadvantaged communities, to come alongside them and create jobs. And we do that by selling their handmade products, mainly in Sheridan and online.
Now, when it comes to these nonprofit partnerships and partnerships with organizations here locally, is this the first time Bop Beautifully partnered with a local entity, or is this something that you guys do a lot?
We do it pretty regularly. I mean, we're always looking for different ways to engage. We work pretty closely with Rising, which is another local nonprofit. Yeah. We work with them all the time.
Fantastic organization.
And so we really believe in the strength of Sheridan. So we're always looking for ways to collaborate. And actually, that's kind of another thing. All the downtown businesses are that are are coming up here. We're launching a support local weekend. It's a holiday weekend in November. And then that Saturday of it, all the businesses, we got together and we were chatting about things we could do. And we wanted to make Saturday of that day give local and invite nonprofits. So we're going to be inviting the library, continuing on that fundraiser, but to come down to our spaces downtown and set up booths and talk to customers. Some businesses will be doing a give back, some won't. But just that idea of this time, like, let's remind everyone how we're all working together to make Sheridan great. The downtown businesses through different ways and the nonprofits through others.
Now, this is, I don't know how this got by me. This is the first time I'm hearing about this. I got 1 minute left.
Okay.
Give me the 1 minute sales pitch on this support local Saturday.
Yes. Well, and I think Zoila will be in here to tell you more about it from the DSA.
Okay.
But mark your calendars, guys. November 13th, 14th, and 15th is going to be a support local weekend with the downtown businesses doing a ton. And then Saturday the 15th is going to be Give Local, where the nonprofits and the businesses are kind of teaming up to just do that, like what you guys talked about, that strengthen that community of Sheridan, that spirit of how we all work together to make this such a great place.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I really like that. I want to thank all of you ladies for coming in once again. A lot of laughs. But I think we may have actually gotten through the list of things that we've scheduled to talk about. I'm going to have to go back and look. We may have skipped one or two. I almost kind of hope we did.
I think you got it. I think you got it all.
This is a first.
Thank you so much, ladies. It's always a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having
us. All right. Yay. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Well, I'll admit it, Dolly's premiere was a triumph. But if you missed it, don't despair.
He's right. There's still time to fall in love with the show. The melodies stay with you, the dancing lifts your heart, and the hats, oh, the hats are pure delight.
And I'll be there every night making sure love and laughter find their rightful place. So come along before we take our final bow.
Even a hard-nosed feed store owner can't resist twice. I'm coming back.
Hello, Dolly continues October 23rd through the 26th at the YO Theater. Get tickets now at yotheater.com.
Leaves crunching, kettles whistling, football helmet lighting, families chattering, the sounds of fall. Hearing loss can be a subtle thief, taking away these precious sounds and others that make our lives so rich. If you think you or a loved one may be struggling, please call our office to schedule your free hearing test and consultation. Nothing to lose and everything to gain. Let the changing seasons encourage you to make a positive change for better hearing. Call 674-8920, on the web at ebahearing.com, or visit on Coffeen Avenue, right next to Sherwin-Williams.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors Super Trailer Store, here to tell you we are completely stocked up with all types of aluminum and steel livestock trailers. We carry the most proven, durable brands like Wilson, Merritt, Murhau, and GR. With over 30 plus in-stock models available, we are eager to make a deal you cannot resist. All types of trade-ins are accepted and financing is available. That's Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue, and online at primeratemotors.com.
This is Ed McIntosh with your song requests on Classic Country Sunday. We're live from 8 until noon every Sunday on KWYO.